Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his child David. As he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophet from old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, in his presence all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to shine upon those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. Amen. As followers of Jesus, we are a people who not only know but actively practice the reality that two things can be true at the same time. I recognize that's an oversimplification. Probably lots of things true at the same time, but for the sake of breaking up that thing that the world always tries to tell us that we have to pick a thing, pick a way, pick a tribe, pick a party, pick an answer, pick the right one, right? Whatever the thing is. Let's just say, for the sake of breaking that paradigm, two things can be true at the same time. We live in this world, fully present in this world, and yet we know that the kingdom of God isn't just something that is going to happen, we're going to inherit once we die. The kingdom of God is at hand, which means both here, but not yet, available to us, but not fully realized, right? Two things true at the same time. Today is Christ the King Sunday. And sometimes when we use metaphors for God, sometimes those metaphors are intended to help us understand God a little bit better. God, this unknowable entity, right? This entity that is so much bigger than us, so much beyond our ability to conceive. A metaphor is intended to help us understand God in some simple way that allows us to say, all right, not this, but like this. God the Father, not Father, but like Father. Hopefully for those of us who had a father who was nurturing, loving, guided us along our way. Shepherd, not God isn't a shepherd. We aren't sheep, but like shepherd, which made a lot more sense to people who lived in a time in a region where shepherds were far more common. But sometimes metaphors are not to help us reconstruct how we think of God. Sometimes metaphors that we use for God are to help us reconstruct how we understand a thing in this world. And so when we talk about Christ the King Sunday, it's not so that we begin to think of Christ as somebody with a crown on their head who sits above all of us, looking down in judgment and deciding who lives and who dies, who eats and who doesn't, who is honored and who is not. It's so that we can begin to reconstruct our understanding of who has power in this world and stop thinking in terms of this hierarchy and begin to think in terms of placing in power those who would give up power for the sake of others, those who would be the greatest among us being the servants of all, those who would truly rule this world being those who would allow themselves to be hung on a cross in order to not take up violence against those who persecute them. That's the lectionary passage for Christ the King Sunday. For those of you who aren't familiar, the lectionary is a cycle, a three-year cycle of scripture that is supposed to help us get through, not all, but a lot of scripture over the course of 3 years. Supposed to make sure that pastors like me don't preach on the same like 10 to 12 scriptures every Sunday, thinking like, it's probably been a couple of years since I preached. No, Pastor, you preached on that like 4 weeks ago. To make sure that I preach on scriptures that make me uncomfortable sometimes, not just the ones that make you uncomfortable. And every once in a while, we get these occasions where the regular lectionary scriptures that are sort of the fourth week after Easter or the sixth week of Christmas, the Christmas season, or whatever it is, coincides with a holiday. And so the scripture I read for you today is the last Sunday of the year lectionary reading. But the Christ the King Sunday scripture for this week's lectionary reading is Jesus hung on the cross between two thieves. That's the King that we follow. That's how we begin to reimagine what a king should be. The prominent womanist theologian Dolores Williams says, Christ the King, reading that scripture in particular on Christ the King Sunday, it's like hearing that song, King of Kings, you know, the one that we sometimes sing on Easter, King of Kings, sung by a full choir with the timpani and brass going, that full majesty in a place much like this probably. And at the same time, hearing an old woman saying, that poor little son of Mary. Two things true at the same time. Dolores Williams says, holding those two things in tension at the same time, that's black folk doing theology. And so, as we hold these two things at the same time, we are asked to both deconstruct our assumptions of the world around us and cast a vision for what a new world might look like. Not to be naive to the ways the world is, but to recognize that just because it is how it is doesn't mean it needs to be the way that it is now, right? That it is both broken and has the potential for better. We do a Bible study every Monday night at Barley's, the bar just across the street here. A lot of things I like about that, but one of the things that I really appreciate about having a Bible study at a bar is as soon as we even just introduce the idea of Bible study at a bar, it deconstructs your assumptions about what we're doing at a Bible study, I think, for a lot of folks. Not everybody, but for a lot of folks. Which is real important, because anytime we try to learn scripture, teach scripture, one of the hardest things is just getting folks to let go of A, what you think you already know about it, or B, what you think you're supposed to know about it. I ask a question and you're so busy trying, and I say you. I did the same thing all the way through seminary. Just nobody asks me these questions anymore, so I don't have to deal with it, but you're so busy trying to come up with what I think you're supposed to answer that you don't make space for the I don't know, because I don't know is where we really start learning, right? And so when we are meeting at the bar and we're having Bible study, we sometimes get a little silly and sometimes even a little irreverent, which is sometimes exactly where we need to be, exactly in that deconstructed space for us to really start doing the work together of holding these two things in tension, the sacredness of Scripture and the fact that it needs to be relevant in a broken world. In a place where if we didn't have church, we might, one of the only places we'd be meeting with folks outside of our household or the people that we might not be hanging out with every place else would be the bar. And so as we get together on a Sunday morning to look at Scripture, I'm not suggesting that we should turn Sunday mornings into a BYOB event. I'm not suggesting that, but that's not what I'm saying right now from the pulpit. But what I'm saying is we need to be thinking about how we, especially before we start this Advent season next week, how do we make space? How do we deconstruct what we think we know is about to happen so that we can make space for the new thing that God is trying to do for us, teach us, do in us, ask us to do for others in the world around us? And this is not a new challenge. People have been working on this for as long as there has been Scripture or people trying to do theological work. One of the ways that people have tried to do this in the past, one of the ancient pathways toward trying to hear old Scripture in new ways is a practice called Lectio Divina. Is that a practice you've heard of before? Some of you shaking your head yes, some shaking your head no. Lectio Divina is just a Latin word. Everything sounds better in Latin. When I say it in Latin, it makes you sound like, it makes you feel good about paying me for all of my theological training. But really, it just, Latin means divine reading. Doesn't that sound like what we should be doing every time we read Scripture? So I'm not going to say divine reading because then it sounds like something, it sounds obvious. Lectio Divina is important, right? But it's just a way of trying to hear the Scripture in new ways. It begins, really, the first time, it starts with me just reading the Scripture and you trying to let go of what you're supposed to hear and let it just pass over you like water. And the second time I read the Scripture and you just maybe allow a word or a short phrase from that Scripture to just wash up on the bank. Maybe something that doesn't just flow through like what, maybe something, maybe there's a little eddy somewhere in that stream and you see some word or phrase that just starts swirling around that you're getting caught on or it's getting caught on you. Maybe in the silence that follows that second reading, maybe you even say it out loud, the word or that short phrase, if anybody's feeling brave. And then a third reading where we invite the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what God wants us to be hearing through this Scripture. Now, when we do this as a Bible study, this practice could take half an hour minimum. We're not going to spend that much time on it, I promise. But I would like to just invite you to let this reading flow through you like water. You do not have to hang on to anything. I promise I'll read it again for you. And you can be as clever as you want to be, but just let this one flow right through you. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. For he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his child David. As he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors, and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness in his presence all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And now paying attention to any word or phrase that might stick with you through this reading. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his child David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness in his presence all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Is there a word or a short phrase that's sitting with you?
And now praying that the Holy Spirit reveal to you what God has to say to you in this moment from this scripture. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his child David. As he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant. The oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness in his presence all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to shine upon those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. May God add a blessing to the reading of this word. Amen.